Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, it's the GM meetings this week, which means Andrew Friedman and Scott Boras are talking, which means we have a lot to talk about. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. That is Vince Samperio of Chavez Reading Fiends. And this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. Vince, it's been a while since you and I have talked face-to-face, but it's nice to be back with you. And there's plenty to talk about. It's the GM meetings, like I said at the beginning. And Scott Boras will never miss an opportunity to stand in front of a bunch of reporters and spout off some weirdly contrived and pre-prepared sonnets about each of his available free agents. So we got some of that. There's always some really good, and by really good, I mean really bad puns and analogies and all sorts of stuff. So, and then Andrew Friedman talked too and had some interesting stuff to say about the Dodgers' offseason plans. So plenty to talk about, but let's first talk about the all MLB team. MLB put the candidates, I guess, looks like 9 players available at most of the positions on this ballot, so we can all go vote for the all MLB team. And there's what, 10 Dodgers available to vote for?
Yeah, 10 Dodgers, the most of any team, pretty much the whole team. Will Smith, Max Muncy, Seager, Trey Turner, Justin Turner, Mookie Betts, Walker Buehler, Julio, Max Scherzer, and Kenley Jansen. So basically one at every position with just one outfielder. Kind of weird since, you know, AJ, I don't know how they do outfield, actually, I haven't even looked, but AJ Pollock had probably the best year of any of the outfielders, and he's not available to be voted on, but you can't complain too much, I guess.
Yeah,
it looks like outfield's a hole, so I guess I get it.
Yeah, there's only 18 outfielders for all of Major League Baseball. And so getting one, there's a lot of teams that didn't even get one. So I guess that makes sense. And, you know, despite Pollock had some better numbers than Mookie, I think overall, when you factor in defense, even though they were both Gold Glove finalists, I think was Mookie a Gold Glove finalist this year? He was,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But I think Mookie is, I think we'd all agree he's a better defender. So they probably factor that in. But yeah, you can go to MLB.com. It's just MLB.com/all MLB/ballot, it looks like, and you can vote. So, you know, all these things where the fans are voting, it's probably more for fun than anything else, kind of like the all-star voting. But hey, you know, let's get a bunch of Dodgers on there. We talked last week about how the Dodgers didn't have any Gold Glove winners, only had 3 Gold Glove finalists, which is kind of interesting. They only have 1.5 finalists for any postseason awards, just you know, Max Scherzer, and there was somebody else, right? Who am I forgetting?
Finalists
is that it? Scherzer. Yeah. It's just half of the finalist. Yeah, and so it's you know, this is our chance, and this kind of is more fitting for the Dodgers because I think one thing we know about the Dodgers is they were a pretty well-rounded team this year and overcame a lot of adversity because of their depth and everything. So it's fitting that they didn't really have anybody who stood out and was an MVP candidate and yet still managed to win 106 games. And maybe that'll reflect more in the all MLB team.
Yeah. MLB is trying to make this all MLB team a thing, kind of like all NBA is a big thing. You know, all pro and NFL is a thing. It hasn't quite caught on yet, but you know, regardless of it, you know, if the Dodgers have first and second team guys, all MLB, that's just another notch to some belts on some of these guys' resumes. So I'll take it. At the end of the day, you know, like I said, the season's over. It doesn't matter too much in the grand scheme of things. But I would imagine this all MLB stuff is going to start factoring into arbitration and things like that in the future. So to get some of those guys nominated might cost your team money in the future, but it's not our money, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, absolutely. Spend all the money. And speaking of that, I guess that's a good transition that we maybe didn't even mean to do into one thing that Andrew Friedman had to say. We're going to be talking about a few of Andrew Friedman's comments, a few of Scott Boras's comments, but one interesting thing that Friedman had to say at the GM meetings, this is a tweet from John Heyman, says Dodgers baseball president Andrew Friedman said his budget is, quote, fluid, which he translated to mean that his owners have been willing to approve expenditures to win. Hashtag fortunate fan base. And, you know, I'm not generally one to agree with John Heyman, but yeah, hashtag fortunate fan base, you know, and you and I are both old enough to remember when this wasn't always the case with the Dodgers. You know, the Dodgers' previous owner literally drove the team into bankruptcy and did not put a super high priority on putting a good team on the field necessarily, at least not on paying people.
Yeah, it's a big difference, and you know, kind of different from what we've seen so far this offseason. The Reds, or I forgot what the word they used was, or align their something, basically cutting salary. The
cheap A-holes.
Yeah, the A's are on the same thing. You know, their billion-dollar owner, their GM saying that they don't have the money, that this is a cycle that they have to do every few years, kind of clear it out and rebuild. And we've seen some other teams kind of on that same boat. There's also some other teams that have said they're going to be spending. Blue Jays, one of them. You know, Yankees are always one of them. But now the Dodgers, and from what we've seen, I think there was also – I don't know if they asked him directly about kind of like the Trevor Bauer and how that's going to affect. He said it might have a slight impact on payroll and how they see things next year. But at the end of the day, the Dodgers, you know, they got the taste of the World Series in 2020. They went all in 2021, didn't quite work out, and – you know, they're seemingly in on Seager still. They're you know, going to try to get Kershaw. I'm sure they're going to try to get a bunch of other guys. And, yeah, we are fortunate as Dodger fans. And I talked about this a little bit with Steve from Locked On Angels yesterday, and, you know, owners being cheap and all that. And, you know, he's like, you know, Angel fans like to make fun of the Dodgers for having this high payroll and not necessarily winning every year. But, you know, what fan base is asking for their team to spend less? None of them. So we are fortunate, and from what we've seen, this team's going to go out and spend. Maybe the new CBA might hinder that a little bit if these penalties, if they add penalties to luxury tax things. But at the end of the day, the Dodgers are kind of a pipeline at this point. No matter where in the draft they're drafting, they're getting guys that end up making impacts. They got the international spending. So they're going to go out and do what they need to do and keep this window open as long as possible.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's possible to buy a championship, and the Dodgers have kind of proven that. You know, they've won one championship under this ownership regime. But what they have done is they've put a team out there every single year that gives us, the fans, hope at the beginning of the year that, hey, they might. They're at least going to compete for it. And, you know, that's why they play the games on the field, because sometimes you hit a slump in the postseason. Sometimes you have health issues in the postseason like this year. Sometimes, you know, the other team cheats in an unprecedented way because they have no morals or values. You know, there's all sorts of things that can happen, but the one thing that ownership has control over is, will we put a competitive team on the field, a team that has a legitimate chance to win? And that's all you can hope for as a fan. That's what the Dodgers have done 9 years in a row. Now they've put out a team that gives us hope every single year that, hey, this might be the year. And sometimes it actually is.
And it's been interesting because, you know, when you look at it, they haven't gone out and signed anybody to any big, big, big deals. You know, AJ Pollock is maybe one of their bigger free agency signings. They've retained a lot of their guys, which some of those contracts came up. You know, Jansen's is coming up. Rich Hill and Justin Turner's already came up in the past. They re-signed they added on to Kershaw's deal, extended him. You know, they've taken on salary. I guess Bauer obviously is the big free agent signing that they did have. But other than that, it's been more retaining guys or paying their own guys. You know, Bellinger made an unprecedented amount of money in arbitration, so that, you know, they've had to pay him. And then they traded for Mookie Betts and ended up keeping him around, which wasn't a free agent. So they are spending money in different ways than just going out and kind of buying players per se. It's been, you know, if anything, the Padres, that's what they've done. They went out and got Hosmer, they got Machado, you know, they traded for guys, and then they, you know, got lucky with Tatis in that trade and ended up signing him. So every team does it to a certain extent in terms of going after it, but the Dodgers have gone after it in a little bit different way.
Yeah, I have some thoughts about that. But first, I want to talk about betonline.ag. We are back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. We are back. We want to thank all of you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. We really appreciate it. We love talking Dodgers with you. We love talking Dodgers with each other, and we are committed to being here every weekday morning, even during the off season. It's been 2.5 years that we've been doing this daily show, and we have never missed a day, and we don't plan on starting anytime soon. So thank you for making us your first listen, and keep on doing that. I just had a comment on what you were saying, Vince, about the Dodgers not signing the big free agents. And I actually was thinking about that earlier today, that I feel like that, you know, it's not, I think that's part of the reason for their success. Cause if you look at it, you know, people were upset when the Dodgers let Zach Greinke walk away. Well, Zach Greinke's contract just ended and he was a bad pitcher this year, you know? And it's, you mentioned Bauer. What the Dodgers have been willing to do for the most part is to go big money short-term or smaller money long-term, you know, and the exceptions, Mookie Betts is an exception and he is a once in a generation talent. We don't know if that extension is going to come back to bite them or not. There probably will be a few years at the end where it looks kind of bad, and hopefully it'll just be a few years and they can get a lot of surplus value before then. We'll talk in a minute about a little update on Mookie Betts' health. Another exception to that was Clayton Kershaw and his extension, but that was, you know, the best pitcher in baseball when he was only whatever he was, 24 years old when he signed that extension. And so, and it was 7 years. So that, you know, they've been very smart. And if they had signed Bryce Harper, they wouldn't have Mookie Betts right now. If they had signed Zach Greinke, you know, they wouldn't have been able to do some other things. There's all these things. Obviously we as fans every year, it's like, oh, if they had signed Anthony Rendon, you know, he's bad. And they wouldn't have had financial flexibility to do other things. If Gerrit Cole had taken their offer, you know, it's a, there's all sorts of things. Some of it is luck because they did make a big dumb offer to Gerrit Cole from all we know. And you know, maybe they knew that he was always going to go to the Yankees and they were just driving up the Yankees price, but maybe there was some luck there involved. But it seems like the Dodgers have identified a pretty good formula for finding that balance where, yeah, we're willing to pay money, but we're not willing to go super long so that we don't have these long-term commitments on the books for the most part. So yeah, even Trevor Bauer, you know, they sign him and I'm sure they didn't think if he turns out to be a sexual predator, it's only 3 years that he's on the books, but you know, they certainly foresaw, you know, there could be effectiveness issues. They knew that there was a sticky stuff thing, that a crackdown was likely coming and he was probably benefiting more than most people. And so they made a calculated gamble, but it was for 2 or 3 years. And I think there's a lot of, I don't think that's by accident. And I think that's a big part of the reason for their success.
Yeah. And the other part is, like I said, they've retained their own guys and they know their own guys. And, you know, it's a little bit different in that sense when you're bringing somebody in that you don't necessarily know is going to mesh with the clubhouse or mesh with the team, or, you know, guys coming up in the Dodger organization pretty much know, like, hey, at some point you might be a platoon guy, or you might not play every single day, or, you know, you might have to sacrifice some playing time or move positions or whatever the case is. You know, that's a different mentality than a guy that maybe was a good player on a bad team, was kind of the star, and then comes over here. And, you know, it's very rare for a player to come to the Dodgers and be a star, especially with Mookie Betts going to be around so long. Like, you're never going to come to the Dodgers and be the biggest star on the team.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving on, you know, I guess we'll give the little Mookie update, that since we just talked about Mookie, Fabian Ardaya tweeted out, he said, Andrew Friedman said Mookie Betts, whose hit bothered him most of 2021, is doing well, checked in with Betts' representatives and will follow up to be sure, but doesn't look like he will need any sort of off-season procedure for that hip, which overall that's really good news, assuming it's accurate. You know, Mookie definitely isn't coming. He's been in Houston, Pittsburgh, and LA in the last, 5 or 6 days. And so he's a jet setter right now. He's at concerts and benefit charity games and Monday Night Football, and now at a Lakers game tonight. And so all over the place. And that's really good news if his hip is really healthy.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it earlier this year, and we, you know, had some listener suggestions of what it could be, and none of it sounded that great. But you know, whatever happened during the season, after that, the cortisone injection, and then the little bit of rest he had, I mean, he was pretty much the same Mookie that we came to know and love in the last month or two, and then into the postseason. And anything that doesn't concern him long term and health wise is always a good sign. So. And it's nice to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully MVP candidate Mookie is back for 2022. Andrew Heaney, we have talked about him a lot this week, first as a potential signee and then as an actual signee. Well, that signing became official on Wednesday. He passed his physical. And Andrew Friedman, you know, we had talked a couple times about how if the Dodgers are going after Heaney, and by the way, I looked up, it is Heaney. So, I said it right half the time and wrong half the time the other day, which was going to be the case no matter what, but I did give up and look it up. So it's Andrew Heaney, and I will probably only get it wrong 8 or 10 more times per episode. But we said the Dodgers probably identified something they think they can fix. And from a quote from Andrew Friedman, it sounds like that's the case. And you have that quote, right, Vince?
Yeah, I got that quote here. He says, and I quote, he's got really strong ingredients in place. There were a few different levers that we feel we can potentially pull with him that he's bought into. We think there's a chance to really tap into something, which is basically what you said, basically what I said. And, you know, come to expect from the Dodgers, if they sign somebody, they obviously see something. They don't just go out there and get guys for the sake of getting guys. And, you know, I mentioned in my part the other day that, you know, maybe unlocking a slider that he hasn't thrown in a few years that can help with his arm side run fastball and changeup, you know, unlocking different things. You know, there's a lot of jokes out there on Twitter from like fans of not just the Dodgers, but like other teams. Like, you know, I saw one where it was like Andrew Heaney after working with the Dodgers, and it shows his warm up, and then it turns into Randy Johnson throwing like some nasty slider in the dirt. So, you know, if there's something to be done, the Dodgers are going to try it. At the end of the day, it's 1 year, $8.5 million. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But, you know, I'm putting my money on that it's going to work.
Yeah. You know, it's we've seen it mostly with relievers with the Dodgers. They haven't done it that often with starters, but you know, even Alex Wood has been until this year, he was pretty good with the Giants, but he, you know, he was, better with the Dodgers than with the Braves or the Reds. And, you know, but it's been mostly relievers, you know, but we saw Phil Bickford literally put on waivers by a team that ended up winning their division. And the Dodgers picked him up and turned him into a high leverage reliever. You know, they turned Dylan Floro into a good pitcher and then traded him for Alex Vesia and then turned him into a good pitcher, you know, and you know, all these guys, the Dodgers have a lot of success with finding these levers and identifying, okay, here's how you have these skills and here's how you can put it all together to be an effective major league pitcher. And so, yeah, you know, I wouldn't bet money on Heaney being great next year, but I'd put money on him being better than he was in 2021. And I wouldn't bet against him being actually really good, because he does have a lot of good skills and tools for a starting pitcher. And it might be as simple as, you know, pulling a couple levers or flipping a couple switches or whatever sort of industrial revolution analogy you want to draw. But, you know, if there's any team that could do it, it seems like the Dodgers are it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to put my money into the Dodgers when it comes to helping pitchers get better.
Yep. So that's it for our comments from Andrew Friedman. So we'll come back in a minute and we will talk about some of Scott Boras's comments and a few other things. So keep it locked on Dodgers. And we don't have any ads to read for this ad break, so we are right back. The quotes from Scott Boras were interesting, like they always are. I guess first we'll mention Buster Olney said that that Corey Seager, that the Rangers might be a destination for Corey Seager. He cited Seager's relationship with Chris Woodward, the Rangers manager, former Dodgers third base coach. I said, was Woodward the infield coach when he was there too? Probably.
Yeah.
So they have worked closely together. You know, it seems
I think Morosi or someone added on top of that, that Seager and Tim Hires or some Hires was really close, and now he's the hitting coach for the Rangers. So that was like a second link to the Rangers.
Interesting. Yeah. So, you know, the big thing that makes you think, well, maybe not, is that the Rangers have not been good for a long time. I did see on Twitter that the Rangers, you know, are willing to spend a lot of money, and maybe that's true. And I don't know. A Rangers fan commented that I saw and said, well, yeah, they've spent money before, but they're not very good at spending it very wisely. And, you know, we'll have to see. John Daniels is an interesting, I guess he's not their GM anymore. He's a level above GM. And Chris Young is their GM. So I don't know, but you know, there's some brains there in that front office, but they haven't shown that they can put together a good team. And for a guy like Corey Seager, it seems like, you know, obviously whoever offers him the most money is going to have a really good leg up, but I imagine he's going to get a few pretty attractive offers, and it's hard to see anybody having a ton of confidence that the Rangers are actually going to put together a competitive team.
Yeah, he's already been linked to the Yankees, him and Correa, that I guess conversations have at least started or some, whatever the wording was. You know, the Rangers are our team. I don't know. I feel like for a minute they've been one of those teams that have been linked to a few people, but they haven't quite done it. They, you know, have a few young, intriguing pieces, but hasn't quite worked out. And I guess if there's ever a time for them to kind of go for it or for to try to go for it, now would be the time. The Astros, if they lose Correa, would probably end their, you know, maybe losing Verlander and not having a definite ace or a definite, you know, true shortstop. That might knock them down a couple of tiers. The A's are going to get knocked down because they're apparently going to be selling off. The Mariners are probably good, but they're still the Mariners. You know, they haven't made playoffs in 20 years for a reason. And then the Angels are – the Angels, you can't trust Artie Moreno to field a competitive team these days. So I guess if there was a time to go after it, it's now. Maybe, if, you know, they say, you know what, Corey, we want you. We're going to sign a couple of these pitchers and maybe kind of sell it that way, kind of like a recruiting pitch in college football or college basketball, where they try to say, you know, we're going to get this guy, and this guy, and you guys are going to play together. You know, Adolis Garcia was one of the top rookies, even though he had a bad second half. They have a little bit of pieces of talent there. But it's just like when Kershaw gets linked to the Rangers, it's hard to see a guy like Corey Seager, who has never not made the playoffs in his career. Just, you know, the money, I guess, would have – for me, it would have to be significantly higher than anybody else for him to kind of concede and go to a team that might not be good for a few years or ever in his career, depending how long the contract is.
Yeah, the Rangers know that Corey can hit in their stadium. He definitely did that all postseason in 2020. It kind of reminds me of when Eric Hosmer had a good all-star game in San Diego and then a good WBC in San Diego. And so the Padres went out and signed him, and that turned out really well for the Padres. So, you know, he can maybe going one postseason in their stadium isn't the best thing to judge it on. Bob Nightingale had a tweet where he was tweeting out a quote from Scott Boras, but I'm going to read the Nightingale tweet because it's very Nightingale-ish. He says, forget any idea of a position switch for Dodgers free agent Corey Seager, says agent Scott Boras. And then the quote is, I think teams view Corey Seager as a big play shortstop in big games. Teams are coming after Corey Seager as a shortstop. I like the Nightingale, just that he takes it all at face value. Well, Scott Boras said it, so it's true. He's not going to change positions, you know. It's been, what, 3 years since we saw a guy go into free agency saying, I'm going to be a shortstop. And then he signed with the Padres, and Manny Machado became a third baseman, you know, and it's, you know, Corey Seager wants to be paid like a shortstop. Corey Seager, if somebody wants to pay him like a shortstop and then play him at third base, well, A, he has no say over where he plays, you know, whatever team he signs with, they're going to do what's best for their infield. If it is the Yankees, you know, they need a shortstop at this point. So maybe he does get a little more wiggle room, more time to play shortstop. I do think, you know, when Corey was healthy this year, he was an adequate defensive shortstop. And people have been talking since he came up about how he wasn't going to stick it short, and he's stuck it short longer than a lot of people thought he would to start with. So I don't think it's outlandish to think that he could stay at shortstop, but you know, I'm not, because Scott Boras said so. And really all Scott Boras cares about is that Corey Seager gets paid like a shortstop.
Yeah. And it still, to me, is just, you know, the move to third base, the always saw even Seager, even in the playoffs, what we saw him struggle with was hard hit balls. And at third base, that's what you get a lot of. So I'm not completely sold on him as a third baseman. I understand why people, you know, think about it. And maybe he would make adjustments or, you know, not backhand everything if he moved to third base, whatever the case is. But, I mean, I wouldn't, you know, if you want the offense and you're going to pay for it and you have a, you know, spot open at shortstop. I know the Angels have kind of been mentioned too, not necessarily linked by anybody, but just mentioned because they do need a shortstop. You know, there's teams that can go after my shortstop, and even the Dodgers can, if they, you know, offer him, theoretically, he would be shortstop. You have Justin Turner at third next year and maybe a year after that, depending how he does. You know, maybe the implementation of the universal DH says, hey, you know what, Corey, we might, you know, try you at third base, or we might see you, envision you at third base. You know, maybe they keep Trey Turner around too, or whatever the case is. But at the end of the day, you can do a lot worse with Corey Seager as your shortstop, and, you know, defensively and offensively. And like I said, if somebody pays him $300 million, I don't think he cares where he's going to play realistically.
Yeah, absolutely. The other quote from Scott Boras that we want to mention really quick was about another one of his clients who is a former Dodger and a free agent, and that's Max Scherzer. He said, I think teams that are pursuing a championship are not pursuing the minimum. They're taking it to the max. And, you know, that's a classic Scott Boras. It doesn't require much thinking, you know, having a name like Max, it's a little bit easier. You know, Boras has had to stretch a little bit further at times in the past. I know he referred to Michael Conforto as the King of Queens today also, but there's been even more convoluted ones. I remember he had a binder comparing Oliver Perez to Sandy Koufax at one point. So, you know, you got to take everything that Scott Boras says with at least one grain of salt, but, you know, no real news there on the Scherzer front. Scherzer's looking for a contract, and he's probably going to get one, and it may or may not be from the Dodgers. But, you know, the fact that Scott Boras wants a big contract for Max Scherzer probably isn't really news. I just wanted to mention the cheesy quote.
Yeah, did you see his one on Seager, on Corey Seager? He said,
what did he say?
Corey is like a rock, and of course his parents knew that because they named him Corey. So, yeah, he was in the
yeah, I did see that one, effect, and whoever tweeted effect. It out had to even put in parentheses Corey afterwards to let people know, hey, just so you know, we're Scott Boras is from Corey are the same word. Yeah, that's a stretch. Like that's one that you would think that somebody was making up, like a fake Scott Boras quote, because yeah, that's really bad. And so Corey is a rock. I'm sure that his parents did not name him a Corey because of that, because his parents probably know that Corey and Quarry are two different words that only sound superficially similar. Maybe they should have named him Q-O-R-E-Y or something. I think that's it for the Boras quotes. Last little bit of news from today was that Chris Taylor is likely to reject the qualifying offer, which probably isn't surprising, even though it is a huge raise. I mentioned the other day that the $18.4 million is more than he's made in his entire career combined to this point. It's more than double what he made this last year. But, you know, with the market how it is, with him coming off the season he had, the postseason he had, the flexibility he has, you know, whether I don't know that he will get a contract that averages more than $18.4 million a year. And, you know, but I do think he will get more than that over a multi-year contract. And so, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. There's no reason for him. I saw somebody saying maybe he would reject it so that he could come back on the market when there aren't so many shortstop on the market. But when so much of your value is tied up in your defensive flexibility, I don't know that it really matters what other guys are on the market as far as positions go.
Yeah, realistically, nobody's going to sign Chris Taylor as an everyday shortstop. So it's I don't expect that to hinder his market. Now, if he wants to wait and let that shake out and then, you know, find a desperate team that might need a middle infielder, that's also possible. But at the end of the day, what you get with Chris Taylor is the versatility, the utility, and a, you know, all-star caliber player for sure, but he's not a Seager, a Story, a Correa, even a Marcus Semien. He's not a guy that necessarily is going to get one spot. And you know, I know we talked about Kike and Jock last year. Jock wanted to be an everyday player. Kike wanted to be in you know, have a set position. And none of them ended up getting that. You know, Jock became a platoon player halfway through the year, ended up getting traded. Kike ended up being more center field toward the end, but started off at second base and then was in center field and moved around. And while he was an everyday player, you know, Chris Taylor's played, what, more games than a lot of players in the last few years. So, yeah, he's going to get his money. Hopefully it's with the Dodgers, just for, you know, the Dodgers' sake. He's very important for the brand's sake, the Twitter brand's sake as well.
T-shirt but, sales.
Yeah, all that good stuff. He's going to go get his money. Like I said, no one's going to give him $18 million a year, but he might get, you know, between 12 and 15 a year for 3 or 4 years. And that's a little bit more security than 1 year at $18 million.
Yep, absolutely. I think that's going to do it for today. You have anything else, Vince?
I don't have anything else. Andrew Heaney's going to talk to the press on Friday, so we won't have comments on that till Monday. But the one question that I talked about yesterday or the other day, whenever it was, is if they guaranteed him like he's going to be a starter going into the season, or if they've talked to him about any different roles. I'm sure that'll get asked, so we'll see on Monday.
Yeah, so on Monday's episode, we have more to talk about that. Tomorrow's episode, last one of the week, we might have more news from the GM meetings. It's that time of year where we don't necessarily know a day ahead of time what we're going to be talking about tomorrow, because anything can happen. But we do appreciate you making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. And now for your second listen, check out Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I am on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. You can email us anytime you want at LockedOnDodgers@gmail.com, or you can leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.